Hey, good morning, everybody, and I hope you're doing well. God has really been doing some great things in our hearts and in our lives. I know this has been a very frustrating time for many people all over the world, right here in Illinois, right here in Canton. But I just want to encourage you to keep pressing forward and keep trusting God. Today, we've been in a series and looking at different encounters that people have had with God. And I know last time we were together, we looked at Stephen, the martyr. He was the first martyr of God, and how, man, Jesus just showed up powerfully in his greatest point of need, and it's just amazing. This week, I want to look at, I'm going to start just a couple of messages on one of the prophets out of the Old Testament, Elijah. And I think there's some things that the Holy Spirit has highlighted in my heart just to share with you. I think it could be a great source of encouragement to us today. But I know that over the past several months, since we've been in this situation, I've had many people come to me, whether it be in person, whether it be text messages, it could be a messenger chat, whatever. They ask a lot of questions concerning the pandemic and the situation that we find ourselves in. I know that sometimes we can get really sucked into the whole news media thing, and I don't know about you, but that if you watch enough of that, I tell you, it'll just drag you down. And it's just amazing. We can take a collective gasp, if you will, every time we hear the next news report. We just never know what's going to happen next. But I will tell you, it's in these times right now that we need true direction, okay? And when I say true direction, I'm not talking about a political party, and I know that that's so highlighted right now, and that's not the direction that I'm referring to as a pastor, just as a Christian, as a man, you know. I need direction for my life, and it's not going to be found in the political arena. It's not going to be the latest current of culture. You've heard me talk about this many times. What we need more than ever right now is we need direction from the voice of God. And whether you're a believer listening to this or you're not, God's voice is speaking. And I pray that it will grip all of our hearts as believers and non-believers. And I pray that if you're not a believer, that you'll find truth and hope and grace in Christ, because He is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, in the scriptures, we see this pattern. If you look at world history and you examine history, it's a pattern that really has never changed from the beginning. The people and nations have continually turned away from God. They've looked to justify their sin. They've looked to explain life without God. They've tried to blend it all together, and you just can't do it. And there's certain elements of this journey that you can't take out of it, and one of the main ones is faith. You know, you can try to debate somebody about it, but the reality is that it comes down to a faith journey that you have. And man, when God imparts the gift of faith into your heart and you receive it through your free will, I tell you, it changes your life forever, and it becomes your worldview. It becomes the lens that you look at the world through. And it's just so important to remember that. One of the things that happens when nations and the world really does an about face and turns their back on God, it really allows the culture kind of to just take on a nature that never was intended to take. It becomes evil. It becomes polluted. And that type of thinking really takes over. It takes over how we do our lives each and every day. And honestly, it even infiltrates the church. And when I say the church, I'm just talking about the body of Christ. And I think it's good for us to take a look what God does in times like this. And one of the things that He does is He raises up voices to speak to these things. And this happened all throughout Israel's history and the world's history. And I really feel God directed me to a portion of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 17, and really looking at a couple things from the life of Elijah. And I hope that you'll enjoy this. I want to read some scripture here this morning, and it's going to take a couple minutes, but I think it's important for us to understand some of the background. It says this in verse 17. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And some time later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Okay? And I'm going to just stop right there. There's a couple other things that we're going to look at in a little bit, but let's just pray. Father, I just ask you, God, for your anointing. I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to open up our hearts and just speak truth to us. I pray that it wouldn't be Craig's words that would take root, but I pray that it would be your words. Let my words fall to the ground, Lord, and let your words take root in the hearts of each and every person. Of course, every time I do this, my phone seems to go off, but we got it. There we go. Okay. So, bottom line is this. Prior to 1 Kings 17, we don't really see a whole lot going on with Elijah. We don't know much about this man. It's just like all of a sudden he shows up. Now, one of the things that we know about Elijah is that he was a prophet. And one of the things that the prophets did, especially in the Old Testament, is they were set apart. And they spoke for God, okay? They would get downloads from the Holy Spirit, and God would speak to them, and then they would bring the word of the Lord to the nation. And usually it was a word of warning or something of that nature. And he would really be calling people to turn back to God. He was a prophet, okay? And at this point in time, the kingdom of Israel was divided. He was a man. Remember this, because sometimes we think of these characters in the Bible and we just think that they're like these superheroes, you know. This is not an Avengers movie, okay? Elijah was just a man, like I am, like, you know, many of you are. But he was just a human being. He wasn't superhuman. He experienced emotions. In the next couple of chapters in 1 Kings, you'll see that he actually did. You know, he dealt with fear. He dealt with discouragement. He dealt with feeling alone. And, you know, those are all things that you and I can experience. So he was just a man, just like you and I. But God used him mightily to speak to a nation that had turned their back on God. One of the things that we can definitely infer, he was a dedicated man to the Lord. And one of the things that his parents did is they gave him the name Elijah. And Elijah literally means Yahweh is my God. So the self-evident, all-encompassing, omniscient, omnipotent God, that was his name, if you really think about it. His name meant Yahweh is my God. And so thinking about what was going on here culturally right now, the king at this time was Ahab. And Ahab, man, he was evil personified. He was described as doing more evil in the sight of the Lord than any of the kings before him. And there were some really bad dudes that were before Ahab. But Ahab, man, he took that thing all the way to another level entirely. And then he married a gem of a wife named Jezebel, who was completely into worshiping other gods and idol worship. And she absolutely despised the God of Israel. He married her and began to serve Baal and to worship him. He literally would do things that would arouse anger with the Lord. He erected Asherah poles, places of worship. He allowed the rebuilding of Jericho, which was obviously not a thing that needed to be done because the first city was the Lord's, and there's a whole teaching in all of that. But he even allowed that to happen. It was like, you know, taking your fist and just kind of putting it up there in the face of the Lord. And that's never anything you and I ever want to do. But Ahab took evil to another level. The culture was turning their backs on God, and it was largely due to these kings and leaders that were having a great effect on the culture. And the very freedom that the people had once experienced, you know, they were delivered from captivity, they were delivered from bondage, and the very freedom that they had was eroding right in their sight. And they were largely unaware of what was taking place. The culture was being influenced by a spirit that was not the spirit of Yahweh. So, what does God do? What do we see in the story, okay? Well, the first thing we see is that God raises up a voice to speak to this, because God will not tolerate evil forever. And it's really because of this, because God is a just God. He's a God of justice, and God and sin will be judged, okay? So he raised up a voice in Elijah, and he raised up a voice for the sake of the remnant of his people Israel. God will always remember this, whether it's 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, whatever. Today, he will raise up a voice for nations and people groups that have turned their backs against them. He will anoint people. He will anoint messengers to bring warnings, and he will anoint messengers to bring and lift up the word of God and to lift up Jesus. And that's the same thing today as it was then. So he raised up Elijah in this time, and Elijah was the voice, and fortunately, Elijah said yes. God spoke to his prophet, okay? And what we see in verse 1 there is this. We see Elijah bringing the edict of judgment to the king. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a little bit intimidating for me, especially considering the reputation that Ahab had. And here's what it says that he said. As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, okay, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Now, he had to bring this incredible word of judgment to Ahab, a king who had, you know, he could have just been wiped out in that moment, but he went with the strength and the admonition of the Lord and the anointing of God, and he delivered the message. And you can be certain of this, that in his humanness, he experienced a bit of fear as he went. As he was called to approach Ahab and pronounce judgment upon the king of the land, you know that there was some things that he went through. But see, he didn't give in to his fear. He gave in to the strength that he had been given from God. And that's the same strength that's available to you and I today when we stand in the face of culture. So for 3 years, there was no rain on the land. And God gave him direction to lead there and head east. So thank God he didn't have to just stay there. God gave him other direction. He told him to head east, and he was going to protect him. And supernaturally, God supplied for all of his needs. But I'm sure that just kind of became a comfy little place for him, because he was fed by ravens. He was brought bread. He was brought meat in the morning and evening. And he had plenty of water to drink. The text doesn't really indicate that he had directions for the next step in his journey, but he knew that he was going to go to this brook and he was going to be taken care of. And after 3 years of this day after day after day after day, it probably could have become habit. I don't know about you, but it would have for me. But his needs were met and he was content. This season of his life was good. So the first thing we see is God does raise up a voice. And he gives direction, he provides safety, he provides for the needs. But the second thing that we see is that seasons do change. And I bet I could get a hearty amen out of many of you today, because seasons do change. Now, we in Illinois, we experience all the seasons, man. We get spring, summer, winter, fall, winter, summer, you know, all the different things. Construction, non-construction, all of those types of things. But the reality is all the seasons come and all the seasons change, and in a spiritual sense, we have seasons too. We have seasons where we sow and we plant, right? We have seasons where we water and we nurture that seed, and then there's seasons of harvest. And I'm not sure what Elijah's mindset was at this point, but I'm sure he had a level of comfort in the season that he was in. And maybe he thought the brook would never dry out. But the thing is that God always changes the season up on it and that on us. And that's one thing you can rest assured of, is that the brook will eventually dry up. And the brook where he was staying, that place of comfort, that place of safety, eventually dried up. But God didn't abandon him there, did he? No, God gave him clear direction. He didn't give him clear direction for 14 steps down the road. He gave him the next step in his journey. And when the brook ran out, as the brook always does, God spoke to him and he gave him direction for the next step in his journey. Now, eventually the brook will run out for all of us. And God will give us direction for the next step in our journey. And if you really think about it, This situation that we're in, this whole COVID situation, it kind of dried the brook up, if you will, and it forced us to step into a new season. But I will tell you that as we stay connected to Jesus, as we stay connected to God, God will give us every step we need to take in the journey. But we do need to be listening to him, and we do need to be faithful, just like Elijah was in this moment. See, in verse 9 it says this. It said God gave him direction to go to Zarephath, and there would be a widow there to supply all of his needs for food. And, you know, again, maybe he got complacent, maybe the ravens were doing this, but it was almost like God was going to give him some encouragement. So not only did God give him direction, but God was going to give him some encouragement. And he went, and through this story, you can read it yourself, it's in chapter 17 there, but as he went to the widow of Zarephath, God provided every need, not only for him, but also for the widow. God reaffirmed his commitment to Elijah during this time, and I'm sure that just strengthened his faith, because there were some things on the horizon in Elijah's life that Elijah didn't even know about at this moment. But God was preparing him. And God reaffirmed his commitment to Elijah, and he came through in a big way for that widow and for Elijah. He also reaffirmed the widow's faith in the Lord. And it was as if God was getting Elijah ready for that next thing. And we're going to talk about that next time. But the reality is that God doesn't do things just kind of arbitrarily, all right? And I know that the things that we go through in life, if we will yield them to the Lord, even our bad decisions, even the things that we've gone through and the knuckleheadedness that we can do, if we will just lay that thing down and just say, Jesus, man, you can have my heart. You can lead me and direct me. I will follow you. I will be your voice, Lord. And I believe that some people are, God is asking you to be his voice. Will you be his voice? But I will tell you, he's not going to give you maybe just 14 steps down the road, but he might give you the next step or the next step or two. But we can faithfully trust him. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God will never leave you and never forsake you. Because here's why. God always has, lastly, God always has an end game in mind. In verse 18:1, and that's this is where we're going to end up today. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. You see, the whole intention of all of this, everything from raising up the voice, okay, the mission that God had in mind was to bring rain on the land again. But he had to get people's attention once and for all. And we're going to see how he did that in a powerful way through these 3 years. And even during times of persecution, because during these 3 years, the prophets that were in the land were being persecuted and murdered because they were speaking forth the words of the Lord. But God is in the redemption business. Amen. God is in the resurrection business. He's in the deliverance business. And I'm telling you, the word of the Lord says that I came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That is the word of God for us today. There are people that are asking questions. There are people who are looking for answers, and we have those answers in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, you don't have to be a theologian to love somebody. You don't have to be a theologian or a Bible scholar to just share the love of Jesus and just share the experience that you have had with him. I want to encourage you as a believer to raise up and be God's voice in this day and this hour, because the brook has dried up. And I know it might be uncomfortable for you to leave that place of safety, that place of comfort, that place that you have always just called home. But God has allowed this for a reason in our lives, and I believe it's a reason to bring people back to Jesus and bring us back to the mission, the cross, and seeing people one to Christ for eternity. Friends, just share your story. You don't have to be a theologian. I think you obviously need to be well studied if you can. But man, just share your experience with people. Share what Jesus has done in your life. I've been so open with my own. Man, God, he took a broken, empty life, and he made something powerful and great out of it. And not in and of me, it's the Jesus in me. It's just amazing to me how God can absolutely redeem a life. He is in the redemption business. Now, many of you know my story. You know, I came from just a lot of knuckleheadedness. I came from the party scene. I came from, you know, I was just beer drinking, football, girls, all that stuff. And, you know, I have a lot of regrets. I really do. I wish I could just turn back the hand of time. I recently got on, joined Facebook. I don't know if that was a mistake or not, but I've reconnected with a lot of people that I hadn't seen or even talked to in years, and it's been a joy. But it's also resurrected some of the old memories in my heart. But it also drove me to my knees, and and Jesus reminded me, that's no longer who you are. That's no longer who you are anymore. There are good things that happened in my life. And I had a lot of good buddies that I played football with, and I had some excellent coaches, and I learned a lot of great life lessons from that. But I will tell you this, there's nothing that I've learned greater than surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. My whole life, I was looking for hope, I was looking for assurance, and I was looking for it, just like that old song goes, in all the wrong places. But the reality is when I finally surrendered my heart, I surrendered my life to Jesus, it made all the difference in the world. I finally found my home. I finally found my compass. I finally found the anchor in my life. And as great as my parents are, and I love them, and my family, and everything, they can never be Jesus for me. Only Jesus can be Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, you know, wherever you're at, if your brook has dried up, just realize, and it has in culture, God may want to use you to be a voice, but maybe you're just starting the journey. Maybe you're just saying, man, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about God. I tell you, friend, you're in a good place. And it's as simple as just praying, God, forgive me. You know, Jesus told a story in the scriptures. There was a man who came by, and he was a religious guy. You know, he had everything just looking great on the outside, and he just kind of looked down on people. And one of the things he said to those people was, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. You know, he thought he was just holier than thou. And then Jesus said there was another man who came by, and that man just kind of had his head hung low, and he was a sinner, and he just beat his chest, you know, and he said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus asked the crowd that he was teaching, he said, who do you think went home justified? Friends, the one who went home justified was not the one who had everything together on the outside. It was the one who just in sincerity of heart went to Jesus and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You don't have to have everything all together to come to God. You know, you come to him as you are. He is faithful. He is just. He will forgive your sin, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to tell you, you will start the greatest journey of your life. Will you still have problems? Yes. Will you still have discouragements? Yes. Will you still have fears just like Elijah? Yes. But God will set you on a course that will change your life forever. I want to encourage you today. Take a look at these scriptures in 1 Kings 17. Know that God is in charge. He will raise up a voice, and he is raising up a voice to speak into the culture of today. We don't have to fear. And we need to know that if he raises up the voice, that you can be bank on this. The seasons are going to change. Yes, this season that we're in right now is different than the season before, and it's going to change again. The brook will dry up in this season eventually. But God will also, in that, give us clear direction for the next step. He will also give you encouragement for your journey. And just remember that God always has an end game in mind, and that end game is his mission. Go ye into the world and reach people with the cause of Christ, reach people with the gospel, love on people, love God. I'm going to tell you, enjoy your life and find hope in Christ. I hope this has encouraged you today. I've enjoyed unpacking this a little bit today for you. And next time we'll take a look at the next step in Elijah's journey. It's a showdown with some pretty nasty prophets of Baal, but God shows up in a powerful way for Elijah. Hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. God bless you. Have a great week.